Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good night to the ones who are getting ready to go to bed. I know some of you have said that you're turning in, but you're just putting the radio right beside your ear and you just want to listen to it on your way to sleep. So good night to you as you listen to the word. And good morning to those on the other coast that may be just arising, and good afternoon to whoever, or good evening. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Evangelist Von Dumas, and we're just in thanks today. We just want to say thank you. And I have heard from so many different people on different ways that they just want to give thanks to God. And whew, I just, my soul is just full because we have so much to be thankful for. And this is just a small little bitty minute part of us giving thanksgiving. Even though our heart is blowing up, just the thoughts of the things that he's done for us and how he's been there for us. And, oh, just thank you, Lord Jesus. It's just been so much more than that, and that we can't even tell. We can't even tell it all. We can't even tell it all. You know what? We don't even know. We don't even realize how much he is doing for us right now. We don't really realize some of the danger snares that he has brought us through that we didn't even know that we was there. That's how good he is. That he has demanded death stay away from us, watching over us when we sleep, on our jaws, when we're running through trying to rush and get here and there and not thinking about some of the safety issues or the things that we should not do, we're doing, and his mercy. Can someone say that? His mercy. His mercy, his blessings, his love, and his precious grace has saved me. Little old me has saved me. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. And every now and then, we need to just get together and outside of our weekly celebration together, but we need to just get together with somebody that you may not even know too well and just say, God has been good to me. And just say, I just want to say thank you. Somebody doesn't know that he's a healer today. Somebody doesn't know that he's a friend in the midst of your troubles right now, that he's a friend. I mean a friend that you can talk to. I mean a friend that you can listen to and receive answers from, that he is a friend. And somebody needs to know that right now, that you have a friend in Jesus. You have a confidant in Jesus. You don't have to worry about it getting back out into the streets or getting to someone else, but you have a confidant in Jesus, and that's who he is. And that's who we're praising tonight. Because where he is, he's prepared a place for each and every one of us. And we're all invited to go. And not all are going. So there is a place that was not prepared and not made, not created for man, but man will be there because of the choices. So all of those who refuse to accept, and if I invite you to my home, it's up to you whether you want to come. And as many say, I don't want to go to Evangelist Von's home. So I'm not going to make you come. He's not going to make us come to be with him for eternity. So if you choose not to go into the kingdom that he has set up for you, there is a place for you to go. Hallelujah. So he wants none to perish, none to perish. Get that straight. I hear so many different things about it. But he wants none to perish. It's your life. It's up to you what you're choosing. This is a great time right now just to start by just saying thank you, just recognizing him as the Lord of your life, that he's your Savior, that God actually gave his only begotten son because he loved you so much, you and you and you and me. He loved us so much that he gave and that his son gave his life. You know, he could have come down from the cross, but he decided to die just to save you. He decided to die just to pull you up out of that dredge. He decided to die just to save you over here that's been through all kind of different hells. He decided to die for you, to give you the opportunity, to give you the chance to not always live in this pain, to not always live in this disgust, to not always live in a society that you may be lied upon, looked down upon, but to give you an opportunity to have joy, peace for eternity. Oh, that's enough to shout about right there. So I say, thank you, Jesus. I can't say it for you. That's up to you to thank him. But I can go to my Father, and I do right now, and I say thank you, Jesus, for all of those who would not take out the time to say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus, for all the things that you've done for those, healing bodies, delivering their mind, setting the captives free. Hallelujah. I say thank you, Jesus, for all of those who won't give out time to say thank you. They're giving somebody else credit. They're giving themselves credit. I said thank you for him, Jesus. I said thank you. Because if we don't praise him, even the rocks will cry out and praise him. The trees blow and they're saying thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, they're bowing down before his presence. The grass blows praising him. But we walk right on top of the grass. We walk right out and not even appreciate the sunshine. I want to take out time to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and get our scripture for today. Then we're going to do our prayer, and we're going to go right into the word, and we have something special for you tonight. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Sister Tatiana.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. All right. So you have the scripture for us today?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to be reading Isaiah 3:8-11.
Amen.
Jerusalem staggers. Judah is falling. The rods and deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom, they do not hide it. Woe to them, they have brought disaster upon themselves. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked, disaster is upon them, they will be paid back for what their hands have done.
Hallelujah. Go over verse 10 for me again. Go over verse 10.
The righteous, it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds.
Amen. And then 11.
Woe to the wicked, disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done.
Amen. Amen. I thank you, sister. I thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, we humble ourselves tonight. And we come to you with open hearts, dear Father. And we're asking that you just come and just accept our invitation to just fill us up. Live inside of us. Set us free. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, we ask you to just take it out and just cleanse us in those areas. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this ministry. We thank you for every listener. We thank you for all of the ones around the world that are just praising or just calling on your name right now. I just thank you, and I just join together with them. We intercede for those who are not, dear Father, where they are in the relationship that should be right now. Until they get there, we're praying, Jesus, to you for them. Thank you for every household that's represented here tonight. We ask you, Jesus, to just watch over all the sick and shut in, the abused right now, dear Father. Oh, dear Father, the ones that are somewhere in the midst of a corner and they're crying and they don't know which way to turn, but right now they just feel some presence, dear Father, and it's the presence of your love. It's the presence of your joy. It's the presence of your peace. And, dear Father, may our prayers continue to touch your ears and penetrate your heart and let it just flow back down to them until they receive it and stand up. Because we know that your hand is lifting them up right now. Let them receive your love. Receive your joy and your forgiveness and your power. In Jesus' name, may I decrease and may you increase right now. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. Sometimes we look around and we look like that the wicked is just running rapidly and they're just promoting all of the evilness and there's nothing being hidden any longer. And now you can walk out and just as we, you and I may be handing out tracts trying to spread the good news to someone as we've been instructed to do, the good news that will set the captives free. I want you to know also, the enemy has his people out there also, and they're doing the same thing. They're handing out tracts. They're also saying that at different colleges now, it's marquees that's up at the college campuses, saying we don't need God anymore. This is 2012. That's a thing of the past. We don't need God anymore. You know, you can call on Buddha, and they don't mind you worshiping Buddha. They don't mind you worshiping each other. You can worship your car. You can worship any leader that you want. Joseph Smith, you can worship him, whoever it is that you want to. But if you call on the name of Jesus and then people, demons get to fleeing around and they get all tore up and now they're after you. Hallelujah. It's time to take a stand. Time to take a stand. And we have to be careful of what we receive in our hands, in our minds, in our sight. We have to be very careful, sisters and brothers. Sometimes we think we're just strong enough that we can take it. We just want to read about it and see what they're talking about. We just want to hear their points of view. We know it's crazy. Let me just hear it. Let me just do it. You're wasting time that you should be in the Word. He'll reveal to you all the things that you need to know. God bless you, each and every one of you. Bless. We have to pray over our kids before we send them off to campuses. We're sending them out here in the world, and we don't have a covering over them. Hallelujah. We need to bless them. Bless your family. Bless your home before you lay down at night. Touch one another and agree that this is a house of God. Touch one another and agree that no devil in hell is going to reside up in here and be comfortable with it. Hallelujah. We need his perfect peace, a place of perfect peace. And Jesus himself showed us. He showed us that he was in a place of perfect peace when he was crossing the water in the middle of the storm. You know the story. He was just in perfect peace. The sailors now, on the other hand, they thought they was going to die. And when they went to the back of the boat, they found Jesus lying asleep. Here they are. They're crossing the water in the middle of a storm. And Jesus is lying in the back of the boat asleep. The sailors are up here fearing for their lives. They're seeing their lives flash before their eyes. So they woke him up and they asked him, you know the story. They woke him up and his words to them before they could say anything, he said, peace, be still. That's what he's telling you and you and me tonight. Peace, be still. The peace inside of you, that peace, be still. Said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. Peace. Be still. Now, what are we to do with that? We need to tell it just the same. Peace. Be still. Sometimes we look for the ministers or the leaders, the evangelists. And it's fine when I'm telling you, peace be still in your life. And you're going to receive it and you believe it. But when I'm not there, you, that same word, this is God's word. This is not about Evangelist Von Dumas. This is God's word. You've got to be able to take the word, tell your situation, peace, be still. And the same way that that storm had to be still, your storm will be still. Why? Because there was no stress. There was no lack of faith in Jesus' life. He was in perfect peace. In order to experience this perfect peace, your sisters, my brothers, your mind needs to be fixed on God. You can't blow all kind of worldly stuff in your ears 24 hours a day and then think that when you something come up that you're just going to switch back over into some perfect peace. You're fooling yourself. And the enemy doesn't mind you speaking, I got peace in my life. He doesn't mind you singing it, getting emotional and shouting all about it. Because if you don't believe it, if you don't have the faith to stand on that peace, nothing happens. Your mind needs to be fixed on God. You need to keep your mind stayed on God. How? The word said by meditating on the word. Night and day. Go to the word and then find out what scriptures. What is God's word saying about the situation you're facing right now today? What is God's word saying about your situation? You said, I'm going through a nasty divorce. What is God's word saying about abandonment? What is God's word saying about troubled hearting? What is God's word saying about your situation? Lust of the heart, lust of the mind, criminal activities, drug abuse, drunkenness, whoredom. What is God saying about your situation? You find those scriptures, you find those words, and then you meditate on that. God said his word would not come back to him void. So you start to speak that word. God, your word said that by your stripes, I am healed. Not going to be, but I am healed. He said my words won't come back to me void. You take the scriptures, you give them back to God, and he works it out and puts it right back in your spirit. Think about it. You meditate on the word. Think about how it applies to your situation. And then you speak it. You do that self-medication. You eventually start to laugh at that situation that had you crying. And by doing so, you make yourself healthy for the long run. Because even death won't be able to split your joy away from you. By meditating on the word of God, it gives you strength, it gives you joy, it gives you peace. My prayer for today is, Father, your word promises me peace. Uh-huh. And Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, I cast all my cares, all of my anxieties on you, and I rest in your gift. Your gift of joy, your gift of peace, your gift of strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26:3. We're looking for peace. We all have stories to tell. We all have stories to tell. We got some things going on in our lives that are really just mind-boggling, and some people are not coming out of situations. So when we find someone who is, who's a survivor, who's got a story to tell, we get excited about it. We get excited. And I invite you to join in this week because we're going to have some mighty testimonies this week. Ours tonight is titled Life Trials. Life Trials. And our sister invited me to just read her life trials that she wanted to share with you tonight. sit back and let's just get into the word. She starts it out by telling me with the scripture. So she starts it out doing what we just spoke about, the word. Hallelujah for the word. She starts out in James 1 and 2. She says, James 1 and 2 tells us to count it all joy when we face trials of any kind in our lives, for they are only a test of our faith. Now, see, that gets me worked up just right there. And I'm going to try to go on and go through this. But it count it all joy when we face trials of any kind in our lives, for they are only a test of our faith. She says, on January 3rd, 2005, I suffered a stroke and went through a very long, agonizing hospital and rehabilitation period. As a single woman without the total support of my family, I had to depend on friends, neighbors, and church members to help me through what I thought was a horrific ordeal. I questioned God over and over as to why this would happen to me, a healthy, kind, caring, sharing, active, vital, vibrant, single, 56-year-old. She's just keeping it real. She questioned God. And then after much time alone and many conversations with myself, I began to reflect on my life, my lifestyle, and the commitment I made to God when I joined the body of Christ. Was I really living the way he wanted me to and doing the things that was pleasing in his sight? I concluded that the stroke was his way of getting my attention and slowing down my road. He wanted me to stop and take time for an in-depth look at me so that I would stop being stuck on stupid, hanging with the so-called cool, popular folk and living worldly ways. Oh, my conclusion was that God had to take me down in order to bring me up. And she says, hallelujah, God. And I just praise right with you. Thank you, Jesus. She says, I thank you. She says, I thank you. Just run one more time on that one. She said, my conclusion was that God had to take me down in order to bring me up. Hallelujah, God. She says, I thank you. I thank you. She goes on to say, lying in my hospital bed, following one of my intense therapy sessions to learn how to walk again, God bless, she said, I began to cry. She said, I was having my own pity party. And all of a sudden, a complete sense of calm came over me. And I found myself praying. Hallelujah. Now she's out of the pity party, and she's finding herself in prayer. That's what he'll do. Oh, when you got a relationship with him before you go into your mess, before you go into your pit, your relationship would take your pity party and turn it into a prayer party. Oh, let me continue with the sister's story. Hallelujah. She said, I asked God to give me another chance to walk and talk. I promised him that if he would, I would change my life and would do his will for my life. He did it for me. A stroke saved my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She says, I'm not perfect, but I know whose I am. And I try at all times to be a vessel spreading the word about how God will deliver, how God will heal. If you have faith and believe, he will do it for you. Hallelujah. She says, today I'm in another crisis with my baby sister. Hallelujah. In another crisis. But see, she already knows the secret to beating the crisis. She says, so it's just not by happenstance that you're in this crisis with your baby sister, because you know the victory. You know how to get victory. So that's why you're in this battle with your baby sister. She says, my baby sister is battling cancer. And she says, when I got here from Memphis, I was traumatized by the condition of her appearance and health. I wanted to burst into tears. But instead, God spoke to me and told me to be steadfast and trust him, and he would give me the strength to move on in supporting her as she undergoes the radiation and chemotherapy treatments. And he has and is to this day. My prayer partners in Memphis call me daily, and we pray for her healing, steadfast faith, her peace, also for strength to her husband, my attentive brother-in-law. She is improved, but not out of the woods by a long shot. However, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Once again, confirmation that the prayers of the righteous are heard and answered, and that God is in control. I tell her daily, it's only a test you're going through. God's got a blessing for you. Keep the faith. Don't give up, for it's only a test. Matthew 6:25 tells us not to worry about our bodies, because just as God takes care of the birds, he will take care of us. Matthew 8:17 reminds us that Jesus took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Trust him and never doubt. Believe, she emphasizes. And to this day, I have kept my promise and never bypassed the opportunity to witness to someone who I feel is insecure, living wrong, has doubts or trouble about how God is a miracle worker, how he never falls short of his word, how he always shows up on time, and because of his mercy and because of his goodness, we are yet alive. The testing of our faith under trials develops perseverance. And when we have stood the test of time, we will receive the crown of our life that God has promised us who love him. She says, to God be the glory. To God be the honor, and to God be the praise. She signs it. My beautiful sister, Evelyn King Carr, Memphis, Tennessee, March 20th, 2012. God bless you, sister. God bless you, a woman of God, woman of God. God bless you. I read this portion of your testimony for you tonight. But I tell you, sister, it's not over. This testimony will be read by you. Somebody, everybody that you're talking to is going to be. So don't give up. Don't give in. And I stand in agreement with you. God is a good God. God is a blessed God. And we bless his holy name, and we continue to give him praise for all that he is, for all that we are. And what we are is because of he. Who you see right now is because of him. God bless you. God keep you. We love you. I thank you so much, Sister Evelyn King Carr. I thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. If you don't know the Lord, just repeat after me. God, I accept you as my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Come and live inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. He loves you. We'll see you tomorrow. Now, for those who are dropping off, I want you to remember you can come back into the archives. You can get it down on an MP3 player. Whatever you need, however you need, I want you to be forceful with this word. I want you to be forceful. I wanted you to get out with a goal in your mind that is something that you're supposed to be doing this week, today. I want you to set your goal, write it down. I want you to write down some of the reasons that you are thankful right now. I want you to believe that God is a changer. I want you to believe that God is ready to use you. He has you in his mind. He has plans for you. And there are plans to prosper you. I want you to believe that regardless of where you're at right now, God sees your future. And he knows where you're at. You must repent, my sisters and brothers, of your sin. I know that the world is telling you all kind of different things, that you can live any kind of way. You can speak any kind of words. You can go back and forth between satanic stuff today, religious stuff tomorrow. You can follow after the Mormons today. You can be a Catholic tomorrow. You can get all fight against all denominations on the next day. You can say, well, I don't believe that it's just one way to heaven. I believe in God, evangelist, but I just don't believe that there is only one way to get to him. See, because you believe not doesn't mean that it makes a difference. His word is still true. It's not going to change because you decide that you don't want to believe it that way. I know my address. I know where I live. I know how to get to my house. And if you want to come and visit, and I give you directions to turn a left on Main Street, go down to the corner, I'm there. That's my house. But you decide that you're going to make a right on Resurrection Boulevard and go all the way down till you come into Sinver Alley. And then you're looking for my place back on Main Street. You can go and tour all the way around that area. But you're not going to get to my house. See, I know my address. You can stop through all kind of feel-good places on the way until it leads you from what you're calling Resurrection Street that you started on till it gets you down into Sin Man's Alley. So you're lost and you're distanced, and now you really don't know which way. You can't even find north from south right now. At least you had that when you started. You must be careful how you dip and dab into things. You cannot serve two gods. You will love one and hate the other. God knows where he's at. He knows the place that he's gone ahead and built for you, prepared for you for eternity to be with him. Why are we fighting? Why are we listening to so many different words about the different ways to get there? Whether you think that you can travel in this other direction and get to him or not. I come to remind you of the truth, because it's the truth that will set you free. I come to remind you it's the truth. It's the truth that carries your deliverance. Now, you can just sit back there and say your pity party little, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and he's going to heal me, and just let it go. If that's the prayer that you're praying, you're not going to see any action. You're not going to see it move. You're not going to see your situation turn around. You may see yourself getting emotional from time to time. And that little feeling that you get. But you've got to stay in the word. You've got to meditate on the word. You've got to write down your little ideas of how you're going to start living out this word. You've got to write down your fears. You've got to write down your goals. You've got to write down the plan that you're going to use to get there. I'm going to start stepping on this word and using this word. I'm going to ask Father into this word. I'm going to ask God to explain it. Reveal to me what it is that you want me to see out of this. So you go back and you got to repent. Because the truth is, we are sinners. We're born into sin. And it's only one way back to our Father, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's not only your healer, he's your savior. And he wants none to perish. We must confess with our mouth that he is our Lord and Savior, and we invite him to come and live inside of us. That means that all of the stuff that was inside of you before, he can dwell in there with that. So he's going to have to cleanse out your temple. Cleaning out your temple. Like when you get a dirty home, you sweat. You feel like that, oh, I'm never going to get to the end of this. Cleaning out your temple is not going to be something that feels good. Because some of us have spent all of our lives dirtying it up. But we expect to go up and just say the confession and for everything to change immediately. But we got to walk out some things. We got to get some of this stuff out because the flesh is used to having this way. Cleaning out your temple costs you something. But I thank God for loving me enough to discipline me. I thank God for loving me enough not to just let me go by my own understanding, which will lead me into the wrong temptations. I thank God for loving me enough to discipline me, just like you discipline your loved ones. God is going to discipline you. So we have to accept that we're sinners, believe that Jesus Christ is the only way back to our God, and that he is the Son of our God. Confess within our heart. Invite him to come and live inside of us. And then if you can do that, he tells us that you now are a new creature in Christ. He says all things have passed away. So now, as you run back over your life and do that inventory of your life, old things have passed away. So don't allow the old people in your life to run back up on you and make you feel guilty about what you used to do. Guess what? My thing is, I tell it before they tell it. You can't be afraid of your testimony. See, everybody wants a testimony, but they never really want to go through any tests. Everybody wants to tell that, yes, I've been delivered. But nobody wants to tell the story of how they were before they were delivered. But if somebody out there needs to hear your story, somebody out there needs to know what it was like. Now that you can pay the bills, but what was it like when you were sitting there with the lights turned off? Amen? What was it like when that man was not there for you? What was it like when that woman walked out and you as a father was a single parent? What were you going through? What were you feeling? What emotions were you displaying then? Yeah, I see you driving around now in your big Benz, but what was it like when you was back on the bus stop, my sister and my brother? What was it like when you was out there on the corner? Yeah, I know you're behind the pulpit now, but where did you start at? What was it like then? Hallelujah. What was it like when you were blind, when you could not see? What was it like then? What are your fears? What are your fears that keeps you from moving forward? What are your fears to keep you from just giving it all up and saying, Lord, I surrender it all? What are your fears? God loves you. God forgives you. God wants you to forgive yourself. If your fear is that you don't think he can forgive you because of what you did, see, that's a lie. Just plant it in your spirit by the enemy. But God wants to reveal that so you can get rid of that junk. Remember, we talked about inviting him to come into your temple, clean out all of your mess. Well, that's where we're starting at, stuff like that. So you now will become aware of the lies and the tricks of the enemy. God wants you to have self-respect. And once you gain self-respect, I know a lot of us say, oh, I got that. I got that. But in actuality, if you go back and look and tweak some of the things around, you may look down at some of the stuff that you wrote down and figure out that maybe you don't have self respect. Maybe that's why you're sitting there and allowing that man to beat you like that. Maybe that's why you're still leaving your kids in the home so you can go out there on the corner and do this right here and do that. Maybe that's why you're still over there shoplifting when you know you got money in the bank. Maybe that's why you can't believe your daughter when she says she's been molested. Maybe that's why you can't forgive your father, forgive your mother. Because it's something you see when you see you. But God wants to give you self-respect. And as you gain your self-respect, you will find yourself having respect for others, even those who you swore that you would never, ever respect. You'll start looking at situations different. So don't be afraid to sweat. Don't be afraid to go through some things. As Sister Evelyn said, as you're going through other trials, it's just a test of your faith. You can expect to sweat as you're going through. You in that relationship and you ain't prayed the whole relationship. You're sweating because of that. You're sweating now because you don't think you can keep him. You're sweating now because you don't think she's acting the way you thought she was going to act. So either way it go, this flesh, we're going to sweat. Either way it go, we're going to fight for something. It's just up to you. What's on your mind? What is it that you are willing to fight for tonight? What's on your mind? Who is it that you're willing to stand up and say? I'm not talking about just the ones right there in your household, you're four and no more. But who is it that you're willing, like Sister Evelyn said, to not turn down the opportunity to witness to? Who is it that God has placed in your heart that you're supposed to be fasting for right now? That you're supposed to be praying for three times a day right now? Who is it? You know, sometimes I don't even know the name of the person that I'm praying for. I've never even saw their face, but God has put it in my spirit that I need to be praying for this specific reason and for this person right now. You've got to be obedient. Because you never know when God is going to place it in someone's heart to pray for you on your behalf. So we said, thank you, Jesus. That's why we say thank you, Jesus. That's why we open up our mouths and we confess that God is Lord. That's why we stand and we want to accept his peace. Because he's offering it to us. And if you look around us, we got so many issues going around with the people in the world today. We need his peace. We need his joy. We need his understanding. And we need his strength. We need each other, sisters and brothers. We got to learn how to love and accept his love. We got to learn how to forgive and accept his forgiveness. We got to learn how to respect ourselves and respect others. And we can't be afraid to sweat. And we got to start thanking him for his daily mercies, brand new, each and every day. We got to start respecting that. We got to start reaching out to each other, helping each other. So when you get your victory, you do like Sister Evelyn. You stand strong on your victory. And you have so much faith because you know what he's done for you. That you go right back into another battle, but it's just the same battle. You just got now to fight with a different word. You get your different scriptures for the battle that you're fighting on. It's no need of you going into a battle of healing and you're over here fighting for with your scriptures that's going to tell you something about being faithful about something totally different. Know who you are. Know where you stand in your relationship with the Lord. And most of all, be thankful. We love you. Good night.